Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. For nearly 500 years, doctors classified nostalgia as a disease, even sometimes a form of psychosis. But recent studies have found that feelings of longing for the past can have real physical and psychological benefits. Nostalgia can make us more tolerant and more generous. It can offset boredom and loneliness, even make us feel closer to one another. And researchers have also found that music can induce an intense sense of nostalgia, as you've been telling us.
This is Michael Cleveland. I'm calling from Hartford, Kentucky. And my favorite nostalgic song is Dreamweaver by Gary Wright. So I used to listen to that song when I was a child going to sleep, listen to my clock radio.
John Tierney is science columnist for our partner, the New York Times, and he writes about nostalgia in this week's Science Times. He never thought that longing for the past could be beneficial for the future.
I didn't until I met Konstantin Sedekides, this researcher in England. He had moved to England, and he was feeling nostalgic for his old job at the University of North Carolina. And when he told a colleague these nostalgic memories, the guy said, well, you must be depressed. And he said, but I don't feel depressed. You know, it feels kind of good to do it. So he started this whole line of research into it. And he found that, you know, that nostalgia, it's not just geezers, you know, looking back and saying those were the days. That nostalgia starts in children as young as 7. You know, they remember birthdays and Christmases from the past. And it was funny, at one time they called this the Swiss disease because Swiss mercenary soldiers had it when they were away from home. And they had these crazy theories that it was the altitude change when they left the mountains or that it was the clanging of cowbells that had driven them crazy and they were homesick. But, you know, the more they've studied in the last 10 years, they find that everybody indulges in nostalgia and that it's true that people use nostalgia often when they're feeling lonely and they're feeling, you know, when there's a transition in their life, they're moving away from home. And so they tend to be nostalgic then about past memories, but the nostalgia actually helps them move forward. It's not just a backward-looking thing.
How does it do that? Because you look back on the house you used to live in or the people you used to know and you say, boy, that was great, and it helps you strive to recreate it or create it in a new way? How does it work?
Psychologists talk about the problem of self-discontinuity, and this is something that, you know, that when you feel that, you know, that your past is disconnected from your present, you feel out of sorts, that I'm not the person I used to be. As Stephen Stills sings it in his song Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, you know, don't let the past remind us of what we are not now. And that's really a disconcerting feeling. And people used to think that nostalgia would do that because you're thinking those were the days, my life has gone downhill, I was happier then. But when they've studied it, they found that actually when people do that, it reminds them that there is continuity in their life, that, you know, they think of their friends, that, you know, often they still have the same friends today. They remember that they have these close attachments with other people. It makes them feel more connected to society. And they think that their life has meaning, really, you know, that I have these meaningful relationships, that these good things happened, and I still have these friends. And there is a continuity to my life. You know, most nostalgic stories, they tend to involve you as a protagonist, but it's usually surrounded by close friends or relatives. And that gives you this feeling of social connection. And they do these experiments, and they find that when after people indulge in nostalgia, it counteracts the feelings of loneliness and anxiety.
You write about how around the turn of the century, during the immigrant waves in this country, nostalgia was a common diagnosis of immigrants. People who longed for the old country when they came here. And it struck me as reading that, you know, that just sounds like a backdoor way of promoting assimilation, that it really was just a form of social pressure.
Right. And they called it the immigrant psychosis was one of the diagnoses they had. No, you're right. And I think people tend to see that and they think, why are you looking in the past? And it's kind of, you know, what about me? Let's think about this country. Let's think about this. And, you know, that's what, you know, what Dr. Sedekides said, I wonder what happened to him. They said, you must be depressed that you're looking back at your life in the United States. And he said, I don't want to go back there. You know, I'd love that, but I'm happy here, but I'd like to have this continuity in my life. And I think it's unrealistic to expect an immigrant's going to come here and just forget about his village and his family. That's an important part of who he is. It gives you the strength to move forward is what it does. You know, people who actually indulge in these wistful memories, they actually end up feeling more optimistic and more inspired about the future.
That's not to say, of course, that nostalgia in the extreme can't be debilitating. I'll bet you most psychologists listening to this or psychiatrists would wince at the notion that all of a sudden all nostalgia is good. There must be a debilitating form that prevents some people from living in the moment or looking forward.
Right, absolutely. I mean, there are undoubtedly neurotics who just overdo it and live in the past and just use that as a way of avoiding the present. But there are kind of positive ways of using nostalgia. You know, Dr. Sedekides recommends this for people. And when you look back at the past, don't compare it with the present so much. Don't say those were the days, you know, I was better then, things were better. Just think of it more in an existential way. Like, what has my life meant? You know, I had these meaningful moments in the past, and I had these connections with people, and I'm still going to have those connections. And I have these memories there. You know, they're this valuable possession I have.
John Tierney, science columnist for our partner in the New York Times. John, you write in your column, and I love this, nostalgia isn't what it used to be.
Well, it's looking a lot better, you know. There used to be this, you know, disorder. And, you know, one of the weirdest things it does is they found that people actually feel warmer when they nostalgize. They tracked some students in China, and they found that on cold days, students were more likely to wax nostalgic. And then they did an experiment in the laboratory where they put some people in cool rooms, 68 degrees, and some people in warmer rooms. The people in the cool rooms were more likely to indulge in nostalgia. And when they did, they felt literally warmer. And so they wonder if this really had an evolutionary value that, you know, like when Odysseus is wandering away and he's cold, he's out on that wine dark sea being tossed in his ship, that if, you know, he uses his memories of home and his family to actually feel physiologically better, and it helps him get through these times. And so that it may well have had a survival value.
John Tierney of the Science Times, I know you're ready for this. I hope you are. What are you nostalgic for?
I started watching soccer again recently, and it's because when I was in second and third grade, my family lived in Chile, and they had the World Cup there. And when I see that soccer field and ball moving around, it just brings back that feeling of being in third grade and seeing Pelé and these other great players. So that brings something back. I also think, you know, just when I hear, you know, there's certain things that set it off. Like when I hear Meryl Streep's voice, it reminds me of taking my 4-year-old son to the Natural History Museum here in New York, and we would sit outside the exhibit with all the fossils and things, and she'd be narrating this thing about a cladogram, you know, or this diagram, and I just I hear that voice, and it brings back having my son there next to me, and he's listening to this and watching it, and it's just these wonderful moments in life that, you know, that you think of, and they're gone. I mean, he's not 4 years old anymore, but I've got that memory.
Well, if you're feeling nostalgic for the music of your youth, for the way things used to be, or even for the Natural History Museum in New York and the voice of Meryl Streep, John Tierney says, don't yell, get off my lawn. Embrace it, right?
Exactly.
Embrace it. John Tierney, science columnist for our partner, the New York Times. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
Well, we've been hearing from you on the songs that take you back.
This is Wendy from Polk City, Florida, and I used to always listen to Regina Spektor's Music Box in high school a lot, so whenever I hear it, it just kind of takes me right back.
Life inside the music box ain't easy. The melody
from high school for one person to childhood for another.
This is Lynn. I'm calling from New York City. The song that makes me most nostalgic is Sunshine on My Shoulders by John Denver. My aunt used to sing it to me when I was a little baby. I cry every time I hear it.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy.
We always want to hear from you. Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Todd Zwillick, sitting in for John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.